On and off, I've been working nights since 1968. Most people don't think that there is a night culture in Ireland, that people do work at night time. And the normal day people have absolutely no concept. And there's another life, total another life there, another culture, as I said.
St. Andrew's Court, 13 St. Andrew's Court.
No, I'm not going to knock them all.
That's off Fenian Street.
So I hit the bell to get them out.
No, they're still there at the moment.
In attendance, 0228.
106, tell 102 is clear on 101 to get set up.
Close to Delta 101.
BA is required there. Delta 101, Delta 102.
We've just come back from a fire in a flat in St. Andrew's Court on Fenian Street. The living room of the flat was on fire. Because we were operating the turntable ladder, we weren't required after the initial rescue was carried out, so we returned. The other lads are still down there. The fire is basically out and the people are out of the flat.
At the moment, the press is running at 38,000 copies per hour, which works out roughly at about 10 full newspapers per second, which is a hell of a lot of newspapers. I would print maybe 100 up to 120,000 papers, and I could tell you where there was photographs on different pages or with the colour and all that, but I would not have any idea of the content of the paper. I don't read the paper until I go home. Because I find that years ago I found that if you allowed yourself to be distracted, you wouldn't get the quality, because your eye would be taken away from what you're actually supposed to be doing, producing a quality print.
Coming in at night, it does upset me when I see everybody else going out and enjoying themselves and I'm going into work. Now, I find that... I can't explain it, but it upsets me for some unknown reason, you know, that I should be going to bed or I should be doing something else, not going into work. Everybody else is going out to, you know, to enjoy themselves. And that's what I find very difficult to accept.
Well, Cassie, can I help you?
Does this retain now, does it make you come out in a cold sweat? A clammy cold sweat? Would you go pale and cold and clammy?
Yeah. I just wonder if I should. Usually people that attend at this hour of the night are fairly sick people. After 11 o'clock, particularly on the weekends and that, you tend to get a lot of the drunks and that. But, I mean, just looking around the casualty department, you can see like there's nobody very obviously drunk, like causing a lot of trouble. We have security here, which, you know, help us a good bit with the males, you know, their calming influence on them. I mean, everyone that's here now is very sick and needs monitoring. You can see just the trolleys there on the corridors, just that we can keep an eye on them, so we don't have enough cubicles to put everybody in, you know. There's one staff nurse in charge and the rest of us then sort of do whatever when we're free. I'm in charge of recess tonight, so anything that comes in there is my responsibility with either one of the casualty officers. Sometimes we would call in the registrar, which we had to do tonight. He would come in from home, and the anaesthetist who would be on call to the casualty department. I work 7 nights on, started at 8:45 and finished about 8:15 in the morning. I find the hours very long, very draining. Towards the end of the week, you're very, very tired. You're emotionally tired as well as being physically tired. Like, I'm married, but you find you don't really have any family life, you know, especially if you both work shifts. Sort of leave a note, say, see you Tuesday morning or whatever, you know. I mean, any of the girls here will tell you, like, their husbands ring around 11 or 12 to see how are you and what do you want done tomorrow, you know, which is the case a lot of the time. And especially, you know, people with children, that's a bit difficult to work in these hours. You spend the day sleeping, really, because if you don't, you're just so wrecked at night, you're not able to cope with it.
We service over 200 buses here at night time. We have a staff of 17 on any given night to clean the buses. Basically, the buses are shunted round. They're vacuumed, fueled, oil and watered, and washed and parked, ready for them going out the next morning. Our travelling public is filthy. Well, if you're coming home after a few drinks at night and you're travelling the last bus home, you get your fish and chips and get on the bus, you're finished eating them, where do you drop them? On the floor of the bus. We used to have a problem years ago with cigarette packages, but we don't have that anymore, saying smoking is banned on buses. You should ban eating as well. Unfortunately, we have a man here that's his job is cleans the soils at night time, a job I wouldn't like, and he does that and a few other jobs as well, but basically that's it. I mean, sometimes at the weekend, so during the week now you might have 5 people getting sick on buses, and the weekend you could have 25. You know, it's not a nice job. It's a job I wouldn't fancy doing myself.
We get a lot of people who have been working, say, in newspapers or working at night in late night places or in the media, and they come in on their own and they sit there, but they know somebody in half an hour, or we know them, we sit and talk to them. You know, like, it's very, but there, it is a lonely time. And you see, some nights you're up on the door and you're watching and the same people are walking around on their own night after night. I think you see a very cross-section of everybody, at their best and at their worst. And an awful lot of the people in the clubs will sit and listen. And it's like half the time, you know, the way it used to be, the hairdresser heard all the problems. But now and there, I mean, I hear stories from one end of the week to the other, or what did I do, or their girlfriend, or their wives, or their husbands, or boyfriends, whatever.
Dublin Simon community visits every night. we usually have a gathering of about anything up to 30 people. Tonight was a small enough crowd, given the fact that it's quite cold.
The next person we're going to visit is a gentleman who's been sleeping on the streets for about 23 years. A lot of the time he spent in London for 17 or 18 years, and he's back now 5 or 6 years.
I have a blanket, I have a little radio, I have a nice sleeping bag now, but there was a time when I just had a paper underneath me when I was in London, and that just be cold and you know, sometimes, but I get just annoyed with the yuppies, you know, coming out the discos and the Debs and that, you know, and they're really a nuisance, annoying me every weekend, mostly every weekend. Well, they come up here many occasions, and they threw my blankets down on the and threw them on the railings, and call me a tramp, and just sat on the steps talking out loud and laughing out loud. That goes on till about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Nighttime work takes out your whole day. You work during the night. You go home whatever time you get home, but I get home at, what, 7, 8 in the morning. You're usually wired to the moon for an hour or so, so you're not getting to bed before 9. Whenever you get up in the afternoon or late or early evening, you get up, you're wandering, stumbling over the furniture. You may eat, you may not. I personally force myself to eat, even though I don't feel like eating a lot of the time. That's one of the big problems about night work. But you're hanging around, waiting to go back to work again.
Eating. That drives me mad, because when you get up, you know, it's dinner time, when it's breakfast for me, you know, it would be breakfast time and that. You know, you get up and you'd expect to, you know, have a breakfast, but you'd have a full dinner, like, you know, you have to try stomach it, you know. And then, like, even going in, like, sometimes if you bring in a lunch, you know, you don't be in the humour at all for it, like, you know. Or you're going home in the morning. It's just, it reminds me of being jet-lagged all the time, in the morning time, around 5 or 6, and you've another 3 hours still to go.
I had an experience years ago on nights when my family were very small, and the job I was working in, another newspaper, we were having terrible problems with the press, and myself and my friend went nearly 30 hours right through without any sleep or whatever, and got the machine sorted out, fixed up and everything. So I got home eventually, and I was asleep about 4 hours, and my 5-year-old daughter came in and woke me up on her way out to school after about 2 hours sleep. And I said, "Jeez, Louise, what are you waking me up for? You know, I've only just gone to bed." "But Dad, I haven't seen you. I just want to say hello." And all of a sudden I said, "Jesus, there's something wrong here." You know, that when, so from then on, that sort of woke me up, like, you know, I said, right, in future, there's no way I was going to work hours like that.
Well, you've no social life, you know, in regards to working at night. You know, you can't plan anything. You can't plan to go out for an evening with your wife or any of your family or all, because you've still to face coming into work, you know. So that end of it, like, is out. And, like, working nights, you have to get so many hours sleep a day. So when you go in the morning, like, unless you get to bed, it's going to catch up on you before you go back in that evening. You know, it's really a bed-to-work job, you know. So, you know, it's not the best of a job, nights.
This is part of the dawn chorus. And here they are, the rolls of butter. And they say all babies are alike. Have a look at them there now, and I think you'll see that they're totally different. A typical little girl there with her gorgeous cardigan. This is a real little fella, a real little tough guy. They're totally different. They're not all that hungry now. They just sort of cry for a little bit of attention and a little cuddle. These are the newer babies in here. The nurses sort of work in the two rooms, but they keep the newer ones quite near them. And this is a brand new baby now, just down. When they're born, we don't plunge them into water and bath them. We just sort of clean them off, wrap them up, keep them nice and warm. When they arrive down here, they come down in their little bassinets on a rolling cot. They're just changed over. Nurse is dressing it up now, putting on its first suit that it's ever worn.
All right, well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and this baby's just arrived down from the labour ward, all right, so it just has to be dressed up and have a little feed and leave it to settle and rest after its journey here. And the other babies, we're just feeding them as they're waking up crying, keeping them happy, changing them. That's what it is all night long.
We'll bring the babies in here, mainly because there are a number of mothers in the ward. But the mothers wander down and say if they get up and go to the toilet at night time, they'll wander down and come in and see their baby. Or sometimes they might recognise their own baby cry and they'll come down to it. At this particular time, the mothers are all fast asleep. So at about 4 in the morning, you try not to waken them. They're having their sleep. The babies will go home with them. There's plenty of time to get up to their own baby each night that they're at home, whereas they only stay in for about 3 days, 4 days on the whole with normal deliveries. With the result, we try and give them as much rest as possible.
Don't let the sun get you crying.
Get a lot of people who are very depressed to listen to at night. And you've got to be very careful what you say. Years ago, I used to say things like, to me it was hysterically funny, but I'd been through my depressed phase. There was a Leonard Cohen compilation album re-released, and I said, yes, and with every copy of this LP, you get a free razor blade to slit your wrists afterwards. To me, it was jokey, but this is on air, right? There was war. And the head of the Samaritans, I think, in Dublin, was on the phone the next day to the boss. Saying, that's the kind of comment could push someone over the edge. You don't think. Daytime you might get away with that, but nighttime, the 3 in the morning syndrome, it's the lowest, 3 to 4, 4:30 in the morning, the lowest part of the night, people's metabolism. You say it's something at the wrong time to the wrong person. And so you got that kind of responsibility to worry about. Use the word suicidal. It's very hard to tell, but some people have rung me up and it's obviously their last phone call. You can't say ring the Samaritans. You got their last 20 pence with the phone call. And the night that I finally gave up on leaving the lines open, a woman rang me when I was doing a 3-hour show. She rang me 15 minutes into the show at about, I think it was about 12:15, something like that. And I finished my show at 3 o'clock, still talking to her, and I finally got her off the phone at 4:30 in the morning. This woman was completely and utterly manically depressed. I mean, her story was terrifying. If you wrote it down, no one would believe you. This is quite extraordinary. And I had to try and stop this woman going completely barmy. She wanted someone to talk to. Simple as that. And she had no one. And once she found a fairly sympathetic ear, she really didn't care that I was actually working on a radio show. She talked and talked and talked, and one had to offer the back chat that she wanted to hear. And it was very hard, but it was the most extreme case I'd had for years. But people get very down at night.
Hello, Focus Point, can I help you? Hello, you're looking for a cam? That's right, this is Focus Point. Okay, you need somewhere to stay for the night. Can I?
Generally speaking, there are upwards of 1,000 people homeless on the streets of Dublin most nights. There are about 600 beds through hostels where people can go, and then the rest of the people end up in some night shelters and derelicts. But it is a case where some people have no home to go to. It's just the reality of the situation.
Maria, I'll have to ring around some of the hostels to see if they got a bed for you. Can you hold on there? I'll be as quick as I can, and I'll come back and let you know what's happening.
Outside a shop all day, you know. They like it off the street as quick as possible. We have to try and get it off the street as near to the time as they put it out. So, worst call here now, it's the best shop on Westmorland Street. That now, like, there's only three or four bags there. Like, it's quick for him to throw it in. I'll just keep pulling forward. He'll do these two, next two as well. I prefer to deal with shops that have just rubbish out, so I prefer not to deal with people at all. I just prefer to pull up outside and tip a bin or tip a couple of bags or whatever's there and just take it and go, and not have to wait on people, you know.
Loneliness is probably the worst aspect of the night. The silence of the night, the quietness of the night, no one around, he or she is by himself with his or her thoughts, no one there to stifle those thoughts. And, you know, a feeling of isolation, I imagine, must be the greatest fear.
The loneliness of people on the street is not the loneliness that we know. It's the loneliness of being the outsider, and the nighttime accentuates that loneliness, that solitariness, and that being on their own with no one else.
Anybody around Martin? No, carry on Martin.
One night I picked up a couple in Guildford Road in Sandymount, and he said to me, will you bring me to the drink link in Sandymount, which is the bank link. This was 1 o'clock in the morning. He wanted to get money. He was going into town to have a few jars. So we went to that one and it didn't work. And he said, look, the one beside McDonald's in O'Connell Street always works, so we'll head for that. He said, I'm going into O'Connell Street anyway. But he said, the chances are you might get a belt of an iron bar. And it was a Thursday night, so we tried one or two others in Westmoreland Street and the Lear Street, and they didn't work. So we headed to O'Connell Street. And and pulled up. He got out and he went over to the machine he was working and he told the girl in the car to pay me the fare. She paid me the fare, and when I looked, whatever way I swung my head around, there was two guys standing at the floozy, and one of them had a knife. It was about, I would say, 3.5 inches wide and about 8 inches long. And I carry a mobile phone, but I just tipped my horn, called your man back, and I said, look, we were joking about iron bars earlier on, but I said, on your right-hand side, they have knives. Now, I said, I keep the car between you and them. I'm on to the police. And I must say, the response to the police was fantastic. There was a... sounded like a young policeman in control, and he said, you're on a mobile phone. Stay where you are and keep with me and keep me informed. And the guy put the knife in the back of his trousers, covered it with his shirt, covered it with his jacket, but the police came along and they were able to grab him. They grabbed him before he got to the taxi rank.
Is the judge okay to have a check in? Judge, hold on, please, now, okay? Derek, what from JTM to Bowman, free NT, how soon can you do it?
Yeah, go now straight away.
Yeah, the one who called me isn't now.
Hello, I'm on service.
Okay, then.
Roger, that's clear. Roger, slide, multiple in there, JTM, Cardinal C department. Stretcher gauge going to Beaumont ENT department. That's me.
During the city at night time, you have a lot of people on the move. You have people going to work, coming from work. Actually, during the night, like, it's not just the ambulance service that's operational. You have guards, nurses, doctors, bakers, whatever, petrol companies and whatever. So you have lots of people on the move. You have lots of traffic on the move at night time that the average person wouldn't see, that we would see. And anything can be the cause. People going home tired from work can cause or have an accident. I say children get sick at all times of night, I'm sure you're aware of. Pain seems to come on people a lot worse at night time. During the day, everyone's willing to put up with the pain, but once it comes night time and they're tired, they can't stand the pain. So if they get any cramps or stomach aches or whatever, they ring for an ambulance and we send out for them, take them to hospital, get them checked up.
Well, I'm here to start work at 5:15 to drive the first bus out of the Donnybrook carriage in the morning. Quite a few people. You got some COE men itself, some Dublin bus men, but you get quite a lot of hotel workers. You used to get quite a lot of bakers, but not anymore. There's not many of them around nowadays. Mostly hotel workers. Some people are trying to make connections in town because they're working out the far side of the city, and they had to be in town for about 6:30 to make their connections. Been there, you'd know them to see, and you know what kind of fare they're paying, you know where they're going and where they're getting off. And you'd be surprised if they weren't there, some of them. If you're passing by a particular bus stop and the person who was usually there wasn't there, you'd be wondering if they were off that day or had they slept it out. So you keep an eye out for some people.
The prisoners are brought over here to the reception area and they're all logged in this prisoner's book here, searched and just see if they, in case they need any medical attention or anything like that, we look after their needs, and they're given a cell, each given a cell and possibly maybe two or three to a cell, and they're bedded down for the night, and if they look for a doctor, we'll see if it's a genuine claim, we'll look after them in that sense. But we don't give them any food. The next time we get anything is at breakfast time at about 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, we have had a few drunken disorderlies, breach of the peace, a few burglaries and criminal damage, generally on that line. They'd be all more or less city folk now. They wouldn't be from the country or anything like that.
Comes, you do begin to get terrific activity amongst our geese and our ducks on the lake, for example. Our flamingos wake up and start to scrap and squabble a little bit, as only flamingos do. Some of our parrots begin to screech and stretch their wings. Our sea lions bark, and then on occasions our wolves will howl, our lions will roar. You'll get the odd sound, too, of perhaps a peacock waking up and shrieking. And then on occasions the male Samang gibbon will hoot and holler his vocal call, which of course he uses in the forests of Indonesia to tell other Samang gibbons, this is my area, get out of it. But he will be roaring and screaming as well. So you get an extraordinary range of sounds. But they're all gentle sounds. They're not frightening sounds. And they always seem to be somewhere at a distance. They're not ones that are close by and startling. Those are magical sounds. Even in the zoo, the animals go on behaving as they would. They go on in the city, they go on in the suburbs. And perhaps people aren't aware that this is going on at all.
Delta Alpha 1 to control. We're going to Ballymun on an inquiry. We're going to Ballymun Station first, order.
What we're just looking for this morning, right, is a van belonging to an itinerant that was involved in a traffic accident that we were investigating yesterday afternoon. So we figured the best time to come out and look in the itinerant sites was in the early morning. Now, even though the van is not registered to the person we're looking for, we know it's suspect to him. So it was a pretty serious traffic accident. So we're coming out looking to see if the van is in the area this morning. So when we get out, we'll see if it's there or if it's not. We'll take it from there.
Go ahead.
Delta Alpha 1, we're still on that inquiry up in Ballymun, over.
Roger, I'll get down to the station.
Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my arms for battle, who prepares my hands for war. Blessed be the Lord my rock.
Come on!
He is my love, my fortress. He is my stronghold, my refuge. My shield, my place of refuge. He brings peoples under my rule. Blessed be the Lord, my rock.
Come on! Ah! Sus! Come on! Dasi!
Sus!
Move in!
All of the defence forces are on standby 24 hours a day, and we've been listening to some of those this morning.
To you, O God, will I sing a new song. I will play on the 10-stringed lute to you who give kings their victory, who set David your servant free.
Blessed be the Lord my Lord.
Well, here in the Dominican Priory in Tala, we start our day with morning prayer. This morning, on entering the cold chapel, I looked first to the sun, as the pagan does. Not by strict custom, nor by constraint, but because I too, as creature, sense man's primitive emotion, his need to praise. And so, like priest or pagan, according as the sun moves, I perform this ancient ritual, and though not always able to approach, often effaced in light, I stand before this chalice of the morning. I break this ordinary bread as something holy.
Years and years ago, I think it was the Dockers that got this special law in that the pubs opened early for them in the morning time. And my first experience of that was, I think there was a guy, new arrival in the family, and we went down to a pub in Parnell, just off Parnell Square. It was 7:30 in the morning. We finished at 7:30 and we went down there, and it was about 7:50 when we arrived. And I actually saw a guy being thrown out of the pub, and I couldn't believe it, and went in, and it was as if you were walking in, like deja vu, walking into a pub at night time. The curtains were pulled, the lights were on, the music was going on in the background, and it was all this hum of people talking, where you had people going home from work, and also, unfortunately, you had people that were going to work.
Get all sorts of different people coming in, people coming from work, people on the dole, nothing better to do, coming in drinking early in the morning, people on the way to even Bolton Street. A lot of them drink double vodkas and tonic and doubles of every short. Or points of Guinness or points of soda, that's it basically. Very few coffee drinkers.
What do we know about the daytime? Very little. Very little about daytime. But night walk is a change of life, it is. You know, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. I missed out my family growing up because of the reason was when I was getting up, they were in bed. And when I was coming in the morning, they were going to school. So I missed out on an awful lot there, like, you know. The only time you'd see them when you'd be off the two nights. So in the 19 years that I'm doing night work, I missed out on all that I did, you know. So I wouldn't recommend it to anybody anyway, night work. It's a wasted life for this. You know, because you come in one day and you're going home, it's the next day. So you're actually walking 2 days, one after the other, you know.
I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning.